History was made last night, and I'm not talking about the State of the Union.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. We'll get to the State of the Union address in a moment, but there was another major announcement last night from an American giant, Apple, which reported its best quarter ever. The company doubled sales of the iPhone and the iPad from the same period a year ago. As Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports, the blockbuster earnings report will go down as one of the best in history for any company.
Apple's record $13 billion profit puts it in a very elite club. A club so elite, you have to look outside the tech world for context. So forget the usual suspects in Silicon Valley. Patrick Hughes is based in Washington. He tracks oil and gas companies for Height Analytics.
To our knowledge, Apple is the only non-oil and gas company that has come nearly close to posting these record quarterly earnings.
Oil and gas companies rake in profits when the price of gas is high. Hughes says Russian company Gazprom claims the world record for quarterly earnings. It made $16 billion one quarter last year. ExxonMobil and Shell also have historic records. All those companies ran into something Apple may face next quarter. Brian Blair is with Wedge Partners.
Apple, like everybody else, certainly will bump into the law of large numbers.
In the business world, you can translate that to what goes up must come down. Blair says Apple has only started to tap the global demand for iPhones. So he says Apple may defy gravity, at least for a while. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Now to the State of the Union address. President Obama talked manufacturing jobs, tax fairness, and housing. He said homeowners shouldn't have to wait any longer for relief.
And that's why I'm sending this Congress a plan that gives every responsible homeowner the chance to save about $3,000 a year on their mortgage by refinancing at historically low rates.
Now, something like that might help the housing market, but Chris Ketchum of Harper's Magazine says, don't get your hopes up. He writes about a big cloud hanging over the market called MERS, the Mortgage Electronic Registration Systems. And he says until MERS is dealt with, the housing market can't recover. Chris Ketchum, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, explain MERS for the 95% of people out there for whom that is not an everyday word.
MERS was effectively a system for banks to transfer the ownership of mortgages electronically without having to register the ownership of those mortgages with local county recorder's offices.
Which they've had to do for all of time, right?
Centuries and centuries.
And MERS wasn't created until the late 90s, right before the housing bubble. And you write in your story that without the efficiencies of MERS, there probably would never have been a mortgage finance bubble.
That's right. What happened with MERS is that because there was a centralized electronic database, you could effectively take a mortgage loan and one lender could sell it to another lender. And then that lender could sell it to an investment bank, and the investment bank could then package it as a security, the mortgage-backed securities. And it could all be done very efficiently and easily. So, yeah, MERS streamlined the whole process of, well, what became the mortgage finance bubble.
And now there are big questions about the legality of all of this, and the courts really are not in agreement yet about that.
No, it is a mess.
Can the foreclosures that need to happen in order to clear the housing market of all of the tangled up webs that exist in it right now, can those happen in this sort of cloudy state of MERS?
No. And until there is some sort of certainty in the court system about the legality of these loans and about the legality of the foreclosing entities, no, there will not be a resolution to the foreclosure crisis anytime soon.
Chris Ketchum is a reporter with Harper's Magazine. He's just written a big story for the latest issue about MERS. Chris Ketchum, thanks.
Hey, thanks a lot.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning, up across Asia, but right now down about 0.7% in London and Frankfurt. The Federal Reserve wraps up a meeting today, and the Fed is expected to clarify for the first time just how long it'll keep low interest rates in place. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 33 points to close at 12,675.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Invest Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland, a European location offering a workforce that's well-educated, smart, and driven. More at investni.com/invest. and by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
This week, a federal court is looking at whether a fashion designer can trademark the color red, specifically the red soles that are a signature feature of Christian Louboutin shoes. Sally Herships has more.
Tiffany has its blue, Hermes, orange. Why shouldn't Christian Louboutin have the red on the soles of its shoes trademarked?
The difference in this case is that the other single-color trademarks in fashion are for packaging rather than the product itself, but it's really very close.
Susan Scafidi is director of the Fashion Law Institute at Fordham. She says companies can trademark single colors, which is why Louboutin sued Yves Saint Laurent last year. YSL created four styles of red shoes with red soles. Louboutin was trying to protect the trademark it already had. But the case backfired. The judge questioned the trademark, and now Louboutin is fighting the decision in court.
The judge felt like fashion is, of course, a commercial activity, but is also very much like art. And because an artist needs to have a complete palette, he felt like a designer, too, needs to have a complete palette.
Including the color red. Scafidi says multiple color combinations, like Burberry's plaid or Gucci's green and red stripe, are still safe for the time being. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, to the 2012 Super Bowl contenders, the New York Giants and the New England Patriots. The Census Bureau has released a couple of interesting facts about each team's city. New Yorkers, on average, take 38.7 minutes to get to work. Bostonians, 28.4 minutes. The median household income in New York is about $48,000 a year. For Boston, about $50,000. All interesting stuff, though. In fairness to the cities that actually made it to the Super Bowl, it'd be nice to hear about the commute times in Foxborough, Massachusetts, and East Rutherford, New Jersey. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Here's the Arab Spring, seen by an occupier.
People in Egypt are really putting their lives on the line. We're not facing the same kind of violence.
And Occupy, from where an Egyptian protester sits.
And I don't see what's happening in the States, nor Greece, and this Arab Spring as detached.
I'm Kai Rizdal. A dialogue on protest next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.